As you know, we're going through the book of Revelation. I have some treats for you this morning. I know when I taught Sunday school over the years, you know, I'd give, well, you're not kids, but you're grown up kids, right? I mean, let's be truthful, right? You know, there's some neat things we're going to look at here this morning. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. We're going to look at the rapture in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to deal with that because I've had people ask me, is Matthew 24 deal with this rapture here? No, I'm going to tell you in a minute. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. It's dealing with the tribulation period, and I'll tell you why. Not the rapture, okay? It's got a lot of people out in left field. I'll bring you back to home plate, okay? Second of all, we're going to look at the Bema Seat of Christ. Well, again, what are we going to get? You know, I got some goodies to tell you about that, too. Okay? And things that I never knew about, but by studying the Word of God, you know, I was rightly dividing the Word of truth like you all do. And I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. And I went through it and studied it, and I went back again a few days, went back over it again. You know, you just want to make sure, like if you need a new tire for your car, you want to just don't want to go to the first guy you see. You want to go to a couple people so you know you get the best deal, right? And then God says, you got the right tire, okay? And then we're going to look at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, my goodness. We are so blessed. We are so heavenly blessed. And I wonder why the devil gives us a fisting fight every day. He doesn't give up. He is horrible. And but yet we have the victory, we have the peace, and we can just say hallelujah. We can have the heavenly hallelujahs here today, because that marriage supper of the Lamb, guess what's going to happen? Once the rapture happens, then we're going to have the Bema Seat during the tribulation period, because the tribulation period we are not going to go through with that. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to happen during the tribulation period, and no, it's not going to be extended through into the thousand-year reign of Christ. And there's a lot of doctrinal error in this. And I'm not saying I am the end-all, be-all of things. I'm not saying that here this morning. What I'm saying humbly to you as your servant in Christ, this is how I interpret it to be. And there's a lot of things to back me up. And that's the Word of God and the Spirit of God through the blood of Christ. So, you know, I've told people before, if you don't like what I'm saying, you want to go to another church, I'm not accusing you of this. So don't ever think I'm saying that. Then there, you got plenty, you got 30 other flavors to choose from. And I'll pray for you, right? And, you know, as the world would say, good luck, you know? And so, yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what we're going to look at here this morning. So, as we continue on here. Now, last week we looked at the fall of Babylon with its commercialism and its political power. We looked at Revelation chapter 17. We looked at the religious empire. It's all going on today, okay? Babylon is a metaphor. It's not a city, okay? Because like I said in Isaiah last week, Babylon is not going to get rebuilt. There was that dictator in 1991 with the Iraq-American War who tried to start, and it would cost us way too much money to start building the city of Babylon. So, and no, the United States is not Babylon. But the metaphor is there. People will gravitate to the political power, which people are, and then people gravitate to commercialism, which they are. Like I said, materialism itself is not evil. It's what people make of it. And politics is what it is. You know, when we had the Declaration of Independence, we had the Bill of Rights, and we had other articles that were written back in the 1700s. They were for Christians. Okay, they're trying to change that over to communism. And by the way, the Muslims are coming over here, and they would like to use the communists, yes, and they will do what they did in Iran. They had them come over once the Muslims took power in Iran in 1979, and they used the communists, and then they ended up butchering them, killing them all. Of course, you all remember that too, okay? And pray for the protesters. The largest underground church right now is in Iran. And every time you see people out there, and I like looking in the news media that hardly anybody else looks at, and they look at the truth behind the things. Why do they protest? It's because they want their freedom. But what do these evil dictators do in Iran? They kill everybody. And they take, it's illegal to have a weapon there too. Sound familiar? They're trying to take away our right to bear arms. So we were getting back to the Babylonian system. It can be very evil politically. Materialism, commercialism, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we're dealing with the money, like it says in Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Okay? So you have that going on. It never seems to be enough with some people who have everything. They got to have more. And then they covet what you had. Jesus says, be careful about covetousness. He warned his disciples about that. It's wanting what somebody else has. And then, of course, we looked at the religious power. And we looked at that a couple weeks ago. And, in chapter 17. And, you know, the Antichrist will wipe out all of the religions once he comes to that point in Jerusalem, calls himself God. And eventually, all that the evil political leaders will, and we'll look, and we're getting close to it, the Great White Throne, that's coming up soon. So eventually, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? You go into the lake of fire. That is the second death. The first death is when what? You die. Because we're born in sin, our nature is the sin. And, you know, we're gravitated to, and we all be lost without Jesus Christ. Amen? We would be, because we'd be gravitated to. Sin is a very powerful thing. Don't kid yourself. Don't be deceived by it. Stay away from it. Do everything that you can with prayer and supplication. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor of God. But just as important, Paul's saying, pray, pray, he says right afterwards. So we'd be what? Good ambassadors, good representatives of our country in heaven. We have a home in heaven. This is just going to be temporary. But every day, we all are going through trials and tribulations. It's hard out there. It's brutal. It's mean. Okay? But God gives us the grace to go through these things, and he helps us. Okay, I need to stop there. Chapter 19. So, after these things, what is he talking about? Well, after these things is preceding chapter 18, when we see that verse 24 says, in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on earth. And then it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice, a great multitude. And it has, of course, the idea of those who are there in heaven, those at that time here, and we'll get into that here. It has the idea of the voices here of those who praise the Lord, and that the idea of the heavenly hallelujah. The hallelujah means praise or shine. That has the idea of praise or shine Jehovah. So when you say hallelujah, you're actually glorifying him. He's shining in your heart. You know that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine, in our praise books, not in our hymn books. You know, let your love shine, shine, Jesus, shine. The idea in the Hebrew is that to praise or to shine Jehovah Lord. So there was a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation. Should be very thankful for our salvation that we have here. And so the great multitude here has the idea of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things, I look and behold a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. That has the idea of the martyred tribulation saints. This is not talking about the church. We won't get to the church or the angels until Revelation 19:4. So this is talking about those. And they will not unite with their bodies until Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. People have asked me, says, Pastor, what is a soul and a spirit and a body? I said, well, the body is what the flesh that God has given you that's clothed on, that has given you since your mother's womb. Spirit is what God has breathed into you. Your soul is a shadow of you. Is a shadow of you. That's your soul, apart from your body. So the tribulation saints will have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. But they will have their souls, obviously, because that's who you are. Your name, who you are, your social security number, you know. And then, but you will not be united with a glorified body until these tribulation saints, until Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Now, this becomes the next question. Well, when these things are going on, and we're looking at the rapture, I wanted to come home to this, because some expositors, some very good expositors, theologians, believe that the rapture is going to happen at this time. Well, it's not, okay? And there are some people who take, because the church is not mentioned after Revelation chapter 3, and it says there also in the first three chapters, and I don't remember what scripture verse and number, and also in Thessalonians says, we are not going to go through the great tribulation. I don't have those verses down before me, but I think you understand what I'm saying here. We are not going to go through the tribulation period, but when people look at what's going on here, they get confused with Matthew chapter 24 and with the fig tree parable. And a lot of people take what's that and they apply it to today. And they say, well, look at all these things that are happening. Well, when Jesus was mentioning this parable, he's walking by, and it's mentioned three times in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. It's referring to tribulation period. And I'll tell you why. My college professor told me this years ago back in the 80s. He said, this is where a lot of people get it wrong. And I promised everybody I'd explain it to you here. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and there are fig trees everywhere in Israel. Okay? One of the biggest sell products they have today. And if you go outside one of our trees out there that was dying, it was coming back to life. This great illustration this past couple of weeks, it started to bud. Okay, and it was like, hey, one of our trees is coming back. One of our deacons, we had a dead tree and one that was coming back. Well, the dead tree waited for a while and finally just cut it down because it bore nothing, okay? It was dead, all right? This other tree started to bud and more buds and more buds, and now it's completely green. Jesus was walking by fig trees and he was saying, look, when this tree has budded and has grown and sprouted leaves and full bloom in summer, and then you know this is the time when the second coming is happening. The first coming is what? When Jesus was born, right? The rapture happens, then you have the second coming. The rapture happens right before the tribulation. The second coming happens right after the tribulation period. The tree has, during the tribulation, now let me put it to you this way. Let me read to you out of Matthew 24, 32-35. Now learn this lesson from a fig tree. This is what Jesus says. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see all things, that's key, there are 14 signs that must be fulfilled in all things. Okay? You know that it is near, right at the door. Who's at the door? Jesus is coming back, right? Truly, I tell you, generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So that generation will see beginning to end. You're listening? Beginning to the end of these things. Now, these 14 things I'm going to mention to you in a minute have not happened yet and won't happen until the beginning of the tribulation period. Okay? And it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24:30-35. Now listen. Many false messiahs will come at that time. Yes, we're seeing that today. There will be wars and rumors of wars. This is after out of Matthew 24. We see that today. Nations will rise up against one another. We see that. There will be famines, earthquakes around the world. Absolutely. Like in Indonesia, pray for them. They had a lot. They had back-to-back earthquakes in one section. Christians will face persecution and death. Yes. Many professed believers will turn away from the faith and betray one another. Apostasy, yes, that's going to happen. Many false prophets and deceive masses of people. Wickedness will increase, like one brother said in Sunday school. He goes, you know, I think things are going to get worse. And I looked at him, I told my dear brother, I said, yeah, they're going to get worse before they get better until the Lord takes us home. I said, look forward to it, okay? Wanted to encourage him. I said, these things must happen because God's in control. The love of most will grow cold. Seeing that more and more people are less interested, more interested in having religion instead of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel will be preached into the whole world. Remember the 144,000? That's when it gets preached to the whole world, right? The sign, virgin, male, Jews, will go out and preach the gospel. The abomination of desolation will stand in the holy place in the temple. This is all in Matthew 24 in these verses. This is not happening now, okay? And the Antichrist will not come until the rapture happens. You compare scripture with scripture. This is the easiest way I can explain. I could spend weeks explaining this. There will be a time of great distress, unequal in history of the world. Verse 21, Matthew 24, and there will be signs in heaven affecting the sun, moon, and stars. Verse 29, we're not seeing it today. This will happen during the tribulation period. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Verse 30, he will not come back until, we're going to look at that next week, by the way. Christ is coming back, and he's going to have all authority. And guess what? We're going to be with him. Riding horses, believe it or not. Right, we'll get into that next week. Stay tuned. So the rapture and their second coming, the difference between the two, listen to me. The rapture is for the church. It's not for the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay? The second coming, we will be coming with Christ, the church. Okay? It's in the Bible. It's there. People just skim over it and they get all nervous and excited. Jesus is coming back. Guess what? He's coming back next month. He came about back maybe, and cults have made themselves look like fools. People make themselves look like fools. They set themselves up and say, Jesus is coming back. I got everything here in Scripture. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. And you know what? If people want to believe it, you know, God bless you. I hope the best for you. You know, I'll pray for you. But I've got to get busy right now. I don't have time to be looking. Then Christ is going to come in the air, right, for the rapture. Second coming, he's coming to earth with us. So Matthew 24 is talking about the tribulation period. Okay? There will be no signs with the rapture. It could happen right now. And we'll look at each other like in a twinkling of an eye. It happens so quick. Scientists can't even speculate how quick that is. If you blink an eye, you're there. And we'll look at one another. It could happen right now. We'll be looking at each other in heaven saying, I told you so. And they cry, I told you so. Well, I'm here right now. Wow, it happened. I'm not really, it happened. What an exciting time that would be. You know what? They can have my car, my truck. They can have my church. They can have whatever they want. Enjoy it. Even told one person that's not saved my family, my wife did. She goes, guess what, honey? You can have everything. The will's not going to count because your sister will be gone too, and you'll be left behind. Of course, he's just looking. He didn't know what to say, but that's one way you can witness to your family member. Wills don't count. Ain't going to matter because I ain't going to be here, you know. So, and then there's called the blessed hope. Okay, we have a blessed hope. We're looking forward to the Lord coming back, and then there'll be judgment time. We come back with Jesus on our ponies. Okay, I'm just saying pony. It's like a thief, okay? He'll come when people least expect it. police officers tell me, and they told this to me, and they kind of walk us up going around witnessing. And one time I had the lady call me, thought I was trying to break into somebody's house, never told anybody this. I've had so many people accuse me of things, I get a kick out of it. Because I know my Lord's with me. But the police officer said, who are you? And I looked at him, sure, here's my license. Somebody called and said you were trying to break into this house. I said, I was just trying to witness, trying to share the gospel. I just knocked on the door. Oh, okay. I said, I'm not breaking any rules. So, you know, we got witnessing, you better check the laws of the land. All you have to do is go down to the police station. There's a bunch of great guys there. They are, and some Christians too. So, like a thief, every eye shall see him. So the Lord's going to take us out, and guess what? Every eye here on earth, in Matthew 24, they're going to see, and they're going to what? They're going to mourn. It's going to be a great time for us, a blessing. Because when Jesus comes back, guess what? That Babylonian system, people will love that sin so much. They'll want that commercialism. They love that religion. And they love that political system. It's all about them. You know, I have to say this. There are some people today, it's all about them, right? I've met some Christians, it's all about them. It's all about them. It's not about anybody else. And it breaks my heart. And my wife and I had to deal with somebody in our family recently. And I said, I am so thankful. And I'm online, so I have to be careful. I'm so thankful I'm not part of the problem or the solution. I said, and of course, I'm not going to get into it, but if this one family, it was all about them. They love the Lord, but it's all about them. They haven't even watched anything online. If you are, great. Hi, I love you. So, and then, of course, the rapture is for the church, and of course, second coming is for the Jews and Gentiles. And yes, the people that will be alive when the Lord comes back, and we'll get into that next week, and they will be ushered into the millennial time. We'll get into all that, but we have... So that's basically what's happened with the Matthew 24 deal there. So just remember, all these 14 signs in Matthew 24... have to deal with the tribulation period. It has nothing to do with the rapture, please. You know, but people will believe what they want to believe in, and you know, this generation must pass. Well, the generation will see it from the beginning to the end. People say, well, how long is the generation for? Maybe it's 70 years or whatever. It has nothing to do with the rapture. It has everything to do with the tribulation period. And people say, well, you know, Israel was born as a nation May 5th, 1948. Well, he must be coming back soon. I don't know, right? I'm just leaving that to rest. You're just like, okay, Pastor, I heard enough. So, okay, it's all good. So, verse 1, after these things, I heard a loud voice of the great multitude. So these are the tribulation saints, and I already had mentioned that a couple verses to support that, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Of course, that is true. Verse 2, for the true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged her with her blood. So, has been avenged with the blood here. It says in Revelation 6:10, says, how long, O Lord, Holy One and True, will you refrain from judging and avenging of her blood who dwell on the earth? Revelation 6:10 deals with the tribulation saints. Psalms 104:35 says, let the sinner be consumed out of the earth and the wicked be no more. Blessed thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. So judgment was coming. And remember, God is a righteous God. And remember, like we said, he's not out to get anybody or hurt anybody. But this is a justice system here. Don't worry about it. If you've been hurt by somebody today, God will deal with that person. Just keep moving on for the Lord. Pray for that person. Okay. And it says here, who corrupt the earth or fornication, and has avenged in her blood the servants she shed by her. Verse 3, And again, they said, "Hallelujah." Her smoke rises up forever. And that has a picture of hell, a picture of hell, what's coming down the road for those people who, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Don't worry about it. People don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Move on to the next person. Okay? I don't know, you've all been out there. You've passed out tracts. You left gospel tracts on the dinner table. You prayed at the dinner table in restaurants. You just see somebody sitting there. You go over there and to them and says, "You know what? It's not about me. It's about them." You have a much better, peaceful, happy life when you start doing things for other people. Life makes a big turn in your life. Verse 4, "And the 24 elders," which is the church, and we already went through that. I'm not going to get into it today because I don't have time. "And the four living creatures," and that is the cherubim that were before the throne of God. We talked about there was a fifth cherubim. His name was Lucifer, the anointed angel. And he was the choir leader one time, and he loved the glory, and he used to, I think he had a very close relationship with the triune God, walking on those fiery stones in Isaiah on the mountain, and I'm sure he did. But then one day he decided, "I want to be like this, I want to be the fourth member of the Trinity." So you have the angels there, they're all worshiping God, and the church is worshiping God, and the tribulation saints are worshiping God now. And they fell down, they worshiped God, and sat on the throne saying, "Amen." That means truly, truly, truly. You know what? I want the truth today, amen. I'm sick and tired of lies. There are lies everywhere you go. And, you know, sometimes people just don't know what the truth is, so they got to speak a lie. It has the idea of just lying down, laying low, and not standing up and having a backbone and saying the truth. The truth will set you free. So these people here, they're saying amen, hallelujah, praise and shine, Jesus, glorify you, okay? And then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God." This is another angel. This is not Jesus. If it was Jesus, why would he be praising our God? He is God, right? And all worship goes to him. And all of your servants and all those that fear him, both great and small. It's interesting you have the word praise and fear in those verses. We praise him, but at the same time we fear him. Because when he comes back, we'll look at it next week, there will be a fire that comes out of his mouth. And we'll be looking at that time of the great battle that will be going on there in the Valley of Megiddo. We'll get into that next week. But, you know, just what brightness is coming will destroy the enemy. The baddest nuclear rocket will not be able to wipe out Jesus Christ when he comes back with us. He'll be flattened down. "For the Lord God is omnipotent, for he reigns." So he's all powerful. He will do that. Okay? And then, of course, we see here too that, so it's amazing when you look at the praise of God. Just briefly, and King David had to build his first temple. When he bought the temple, when he bought the temple site, gathered materials, and appointed 24,000 Levites. You know, you had different types of priests. The Levites were there to do the physical work, okay, as it were, in the Old Testament. There were 6,000 to, all on top of that, to oversee the construction, 4,000 to guard the building while it was being built, and 4,000 to play instruments and sing praises to God. Believe that? An orchestra of 4,000 people. And the hallelujah chorus that was going on. Isn't that amazing? Oh my goodness. You know, my hair stands up. Sometimes Hope will get up here, because she's a professional. I call her professional. Karen's has been playing since the beginning of time, right? And Hope, well, Hope's been forever too. But your hair stands up on end. You ever get around somebody that they just praise God and your hair stands up? You're just like, wow, this is really great. And, of course, she's doing it for the Lord. But I know she's transcending into another realm. Just kidding. But, you know, we do that when we're praising God. Sometimes, you know what I mean, when you're there just praising the Lord, you're just like, you're almost like you're there before the presence of God. Okay? I have to be careful about my charismatic tones here, but, you know, it just means, you know. So, You had that. So verses 1 and 2 was the hallelujah, praise God for his salvation. Verses 3 was hallelujah, praise God for the judgment to come. Verse 4 and 5, hallelujah and praise for the glory and revelation. Hallelujah, praise and God for his reign. Verse 6. Now, verse 7, we get into the marriage supper of the Lamb. But before we do that, we're going to be looking at what is known here as the, I'm going to skip over verse 7 for a minute. I usually don't do this. We'll get into verse 8, where it says here, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed with fine linen, clean, bright, and fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So we'll be clothed in that, right, when we get to heaven. And it's interesting because we'll be pictured as the bride. We're going to look at the wedding here in a minute in verse 7. I'm just skipping over 7 for a minute. Verse 8, in Isaiah, there were two types of garments that a bride would wear, okay, in a Jewish wedding. According to, and you can look it up, Isaiah 61, 62. Verse 10 says, "And he had clothed me with the garments of salvation." That's the church of Christ. Isaiah's looking in the future, and you say, well, what about the Old Testament saints? Well, it's talking about the resurrection will happen for them at the same time when God resurrects them in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're talking about the church here today. And there are two garments. In Isaiah 61, 10, it says, "He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." And so the first garment that a Jewish bride would wear would be that first layer of clothing, okay? So there would be this, and a looking at it is called the clothing of salvation, as Isaiah put it, okay? He was using a metaphor here, okay? So, and then he covered me with a robe of righteousness. So the bridegroom was decked himself with ornaments, and the bride adorned herself with jewels and the outer garment of that. So, in other words, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And the church is what? The bride. Now, the first garment is what? Is the salvation. The second garment is the righteousness that God gives us. Now, that's how the Jewish bride would be dressed, would have two garments on. Okay? Now, listen to me. When you get over to 1 Corinthians here in chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, we're all going to have this, after the rapture, we're all going to stand before Christ. It's called the Bema Seat. Now, I'm just, listen to what I'm saying here. That's a judgment seat that they used to have back in Roman time. They would have in different cities around there where a judge would be in the plaza. Like if you had downtown or Conemaugh, you had a plaza, that's where they would meet. The judge would be there. And people would come and see the judge in some places, not all places. Some of them would meet in buildings. But it would be called the Bema Seat. So we'll all be there. And then it says, and of course, it says here, "For each one's work will be clear in the day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And that's God's righteousness, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, will teach. We'll test each other's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work, which is has built on endures it, he will get his reward. And some of them will be lose it because of flesh, the flesh. We did things in the flesh, which is wood, hay, and stubble. And others will receive precious stones, gold, and silver." Now listen to me. Listen to me closely. I thought this was kind of neat. We are saved by God's grace, right? We are the bride of Christ. We have that first layer of clothing on, right? That's our, like in Revelation there, we have that fine linen, okay? But also, there's the righteous acts found in verse 8. And those are the things, once we stand before God's Bema seat, we'll have the precious jewels, the gold and the silver. The Jewish bride will wear these, okay? Because people say, well, I wonder what ever happened to these jewels and precious stones. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do a word study about it if you want to. And then prove me wrong when you get back here. I'm just kidding. But this is what we'll be wearing before the Lord. And His glory will shine off of that. They say a diamond by itself needs to have light to shine. Okay? We'll be reflection, listen to this, as brides of Christ. Isn't that interesting? We'll be reflecting God's glory. And maybe some of us never heard of this before, but this is what you do when you study God's word. It's right there in Isaiah. So you have the robe of salvation, the robe of righteousness. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay? It's not going to hurt anybody, but I believe this is what happens. All those things we did in the flesh would be burned away, and then we stand before the beam of seat of Christ, and boom, we have these two garments on, and that's true in a Jewish wedding that the bride wears. I was thinking, isn't that cool? If you could have these jewels to present to God, and the crowns. We haven't even gotten to the crowns yet. Okay, what are they? How do we use them? We will get to them in the next couple weeks. Okay, there are five of them. Okay? And that's all to give glory to God. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us like a groom does to the bride. Okay? When you look at that metaphor, there's nothing more intimate. As theologians call this the... I can't say the word now. My voice is just about gone. I'm just about out of time. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue with this next week. And I am going to try to get as much done with next week's passage. But there's just so much there. So I hope you got it that far. Next week we're going to look at the Jewish wedding. So remember, three things before I close. One, so we have the rapture. No, it's not going to be Matthew 24. Because the rapture and the second coming don't mix together. They don't. And then two, we have the Bema seat of Christ. This is about the second part. Okay? We will be there in heaven. And the third part, which I didn't get to, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. All that is the Jewish wedding all over again. We'll see all these neat things there. But we have so many neat things, as the kids would say, to look forward to. I want to encourage you. Like Jesus says, and I'll close with this verse, in John chapter 14, says, after Peter denied Jesus, listen to this. This is after Jesus was denied by Peter. Peter was going to deny Jesus three times. Let me get my theological terms right. Jesus comes back with grace. And I pray that we'll be people of grace this week. He says, let not your heart be troubled, Peter. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house there'll be many mansions. And we'll look at the marriage part there. And it makes all sense that God has a home. It's the rapture. When it happens, we will have a home. We'll look at all that next week. And if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is truth. He's not going to lie to us. Okay? Take comfort this way. Go to God this week. Trust Him. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. He's coming again. It could happen as we're leaving church today. There are not going to be no signs, remember, like it says in Matthew 24. That is about, those 16 signs are about the tribulation period and the second coming. Does it make sense now? Okay? I want you to take comfort. Be careful what you listen to online, these people. There are some good preachers out there, good teachers. There are. I respect them. But it says, and I receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also, will be forever and ever with him. And where I go, you know. This is the last thing I want to say, because I'm a few minutes over. And where I go, you know. We know we're going to heaven. Amen? If you're online, if you don't know where you're going, you ought to know. And the way you know. And where and the way. So where are we going today? And where's the way? And it used to be back when the church first started called, what were they called? The way. Right? They were called that. And so they had to be careful. They were seeker Christians because, boy, Nero did not mess around. And we ought to pray for this country because by the grace of God, we're still here. But I tell you, there's two things. One, if we turn our back on Israel, we're in trouble. Big trouble. But somehow Israel is still around when the tribulation period is happening. Because there's, I know God's preserving Israel, one, and two, they have to get some help from somebody. Okay? And remember John F. Kennedy? I got to stop because I want to go keep on going with this. So interesting. I can't keep it to myself. If you remember back in the 60s, remember he was assassinated right after prayer was taken out of school? Remember that? Okay, 1963. June 1962 to get prayer out of school. He was the only president that told Israel, no, we're not going to arm you. Look it up. He says, we're not going to arm you. You're on your own. JFK said that. Look it up. Look it up. And what happened was God dealt with them. And I'm saying that's a very cruel, mean thing to say because I thought the man had his problems, but God deals with people who turn their back on Israel. So, one, don't turn your back on Israel. And two, a nation divided against itself will not stand. We are so divided. We're coming apart at the seams. We're just praying. I think the church is keeping it together. If we keep on going, we will become a Muslim nation. They want to take out Declaration of Independence, Constitution, all that. They've been doing that for years. Since the McCarthy era, they've been wanting to bring communism here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I know this is what you laid on my heart to say, and I can't. If the rocks could cry out, Lord, I'm nothing and you're everything. We're nothing and you're everything, Lord. And I thank you that you love us, you bless us, you're taking care of us, Lord. We got people praying for us right now. We got people from other churches that are praying for us. We're praying for them too around the country. And thank you, Lord, for prayer. Help us know how to pray right. Thank you for the Holy Spirit makes intercession with us. Thank you, God, you know who's are yours and who isn't. And if there's somebody online, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, please, he's coming back. And there's going to be no excuses, my friend, because you will go through the tribulation period. Maybe you will get saved. And who wants to go through that? It's horrible, horrible, horrible. And we thank you for the grace and the mercy. And we're looking forward to you coming back as a groom for his bride. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.